Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 56 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I'm Billy, and with me, as always, is Dave.
Hey, guys.
And we're here to talk about new comics that are going to be coming out this Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. We're going to give you our picks for what we think you should buy if you are limited to a $20 budget in our How Would You Spend That $20 section. And preview some other books, and also Dave's been reading a lot, so he's probably going to do the majority of the reviewing today too.
Yeah, I didn't think I read a lot because I've been doing a lot of housework and or work on the house. Housework makes it sound like cleaning.
Yeah,
I've been doing my little sister's invites, so I didn't until I looked at like the list of everything I read. I was like, hey, I read a lot this week.
That's funny. And by saying I did my little sister's invites makes it sound like you're, like planning a one-year-old's birthday party.
her wedding invites.
Well, a one-year-old should not get married. Yeah. So let's see. Moving on to new comics coming out this week. Let's just jump right into that. What's standing out for you, Dave? I'm going to guess it's the number one thing is a book by Grant Morrison.
You're right. The Multiversity Guidebook.
Coming in at a whopping $8.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's worth it. Totally, totally worth it. It's 80 pages. So for every dollar, that's like 10 pages. That's a better ratio than most comics.
That is a good point, because usually you're paying $4 for like 22 pages. So you're getting almost like double the content here.
Right, right. And I'm guessing it's going to be a lot of like, cool artwork by various creators. We've seen some of them in previews, like, I think the Earth One book is done by, who's the guy who did Batman Earth One?
Gary Frank.
So he draws that. I'm sure Earth Two will probably be drawn by Nicola Scott. You'll get really like top rate artists in here with a lot of text pieces. And I think those text pieces are going to take a while to go through.
So what are we looking at? Like something similar to the official handbook of the Marvel Universe?
I think like a who's who handbook of the Marvel Universe, any type of those things, except it's going to be like detail each of the Earths. And I'm sure it's probably even going to get into like the other realms beyond the Earth, like the God Sphere, where the Speed Force is, where New Genesis, Apocalypse, the Dreaming, all that kind of stuff is on that Multiversity map that they put out as a promo piece. In fact, I'm sure that Multiversity, that Multiverse map is in the Multiverse guidebook. I mean, what's a guidebook without a map?
Very good point. Yeah, I hope it is. I'm looking forward to this, but I grew up being such a junkie for Who's Who in the official handbook of the Marvel Universe that... just for that alone, I'm looking forward to this one.
Right. Sometimes they spoil you with this stuff by not giving you a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you'll read, like, about, Earth 33 is a world where Batman is, an alien who, does this X, Y, and Z, and you're, like, mine runs wild with, like, crazy adventures, like, in a split second. And then when they actually put out the book, you're like, this was not as good as what was in my head.
definitely. Then now the big thing for me, besides Multiversity Guidebooks, I am really excited about that, is Uncanny Avengers number one, that Marvel is relaunching the title, even though they're keeping the same creative team of Rick Remender and Daniel Acuña.
Did this stop right before Axis?
Yes. So it ran for, I believe, 24 or 25 issues, and then went on hold when Axis started, which was also written by Rick Remender. So really, it was Axis was just a continuation of the storyline that had started in Uncanny Avengers Volume 1, Number 1. And now that Axis is over, that story is now picking up again in this new Uncanny Avengers. So while I'm very excited for this, I haven't read Axis yet. So I feel like I have to like rush through Axis. Uncanny Avengers has just been so good. I'll get to Uncanny Avengers Volume 4, which is what I'm up to right now. I just want to rush through Axis just so I can catch up to the title because it really is great.
Right, right. Yeah, that's really cool. I I listened to a little bit of an interview with Rick Remender and how Sabretooth, who is now Wolverine, is going to be in there and stuff like that. So it sounds like it's going to be a pretty interesting mix of characters.
Yeah. Yeah, and it combines, like the original Uncanny Avengers team, it's combining Avengers and X-Men into a, you know, a team unto themselves.
And this is exactly what I like with the number ones, which we were talking about. Like, anytime there's a new season or a new, like, big story arc starting at a number one.
Right.
I kind of like that idea, which we kind of talked about a little bit last week. And I think this is an excellent, you know, use of that. You know?
They're clearly pandering to you.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I'm not reading this, and I probably won't read it for a long time, so I'll get to it. But, you know, I do like that idea. I do like that separation and making an easy jump-on point.
Yeah, I agree. I just hope that, you know, when I'm looking at things digitally, that when I'm at whatever issue precedes this one, I want to just have that next that says, okay, now move on to Uncanny Avengers Volume 2, Number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And after that, I don't really care what the number on the cover says.
Right.
Just so I know, just so I can figure out, like, what order I'm reading things in.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah. So what else is jumping up at you this week?
Well, I'm definitely going to be purchasing All New Invaders by James Robinson.
Right. And that series is still ongoing. They haven't announced the cancellation of that, right?
No, no, they haven't. So I, you know, I'm guessing it's going to be still, you know, going on for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
We just on the cover of this month we see the new Captain America is taking over for Steve Rogers in the Invaders as well. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, that is really cool. Now, do you know what happened in New Avengers a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, you sent me an image.
Yeah,
with spoilers, and I was like, I'm jumping in on spoilers. I don't care.
Yeah, so Submariner is dead, killed at the hands of Black Panther, a revenge killing. And this, I'm assuming, is going to affect All New Invaders, because he's a regular character in that, right?
Right, yeah. The core Invaders are really, you know, dropping off quick here. We're just down to the original Human Torch.
Right.
And Bucky.
Oh, okay. So Bucky is still around. What's he stop by to help the Invaders when he's not off in space shooting aliens?
Well, it was pretty cool. Right at the end of after that miniseries, what was that event called?
Original Sin.
After Original Sin, the next story arc starts with Bucky coming to Submariner and the Human Torch and being like, "Yo, guys, there's this big stuff going down I need help with."
Oh, cool.
So it took his new role in the Marvel Universe and just incorporated it with the Invaders.
Yeah, so they did a good job. James Robinson did a good job incorporating that into the Invaders, definitely.
Right, right.
That's cool. And then also we have a new number one from Jonathan Hickman over at Image.
Yeah, we're seeing Dying in the Dead from Jonathan Hickman and Ryan Bodenheim.
So, like any Jonathan Hickman comic, I'm guessing this is going to be full of big ideas.
Yeah, you better believe it. I'm excited for it. Can't wait to wait for the trade.
Yeah, I feel like his books tend to read better in trade. And artist Ryan Bodenheim's art looks awesome in it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I really enjoy Jonathan Hickman, but much like any Image series coming out right now or any Vertigo series, I tend to not enjoy it in single issues.
Interesting. Huh. I can see that. Well, the tagline for this comic is, "It's Indiana Jones for old people. There are no fedoras, only bedpans." So that's definitely a unique tagline they've got going on.
Yeah.
Let's just jump into this right now. How are you spending that $20 at the comic book store this week?
All right. I'll let you know. First, the number one, I'm going to drop a big $8 on the Multiversity Guidebook.
Right. that's wiping out almost half your budget.
Right, $8, boom, gone. Next, All New Invaders, number 14.
All right, you're up $12.
All right. After that, I'm going to go to Earth 2, World's End, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or not number 3. I don't even know what number it's at. It's $3.
Right, whatever the latest issue of Earth 2, World's End is.
And I'm going to come in, I think that's a dollar under, with King Flash Gordon, number 1.
Ooh, tell me about this comic.
So Flash Gordon has been written the last arc by Jeff Parker, who's also writing Aquaman, also coming out this week. And his series is wrapping up with issue number 8. And Ben Acker and Ben Blacker are starting with a new number 1.
Oh, the guys who are behind the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Right, right. And they're doing some work for Marvel, too. So I'm pretty excited. It has a really, really cool cover by, what's his name?
Darwin Cook. Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook. And so I'm excited to check this out. I picked through a couple issues of Jeff Parker's Flash Gordon in a Barnes & Noble, and I really enjoyed what I read. And I think also being launched this week is King the Phantom, because it used to be, I think it's like King was like the either the comic company or the production company that did these guys.
Yeah, I think it was a King Features Syndicate.
Right. So I think Dynamite is now putting the label of King in front of these characters, so you know that they all go together, because Dynamite has like a zillion different properties going on. You don't know who. I think they're trying to make it easier to go, oh, Flash Gordon goes with the Phantom, and the Phantom does not go with the Shadow or
Magnus
Doc Savage.
Right,
exactly. So I think they're launching at the same time to get like a cohesive feel there. And so I'm pretty interested to see what goes on in that series. So I think I'm going to give it a shot.
Sweet. And that's it for you, right? That brings you $20.
Yep.
All right. Well, like you, I'm going to go for the Multiversity guidebook. It's funny because I thought, like every other issue of Multiversity, this was $5 until you were like, whoa, hold on, Billy. You need to take things out of your $20 picks because you're over budget. So I was like, what? And you're like, no, yeah, Multiversity guidebook's $8. I'm like, oh, geez. Glad that it's 80 pages, though. That makes
If it was like 40 pages, you'd be like, I'll wait.
Yeah, no, I definitely would. Because a lot of times with 80-page comics, even, you know, you're getting a better page count for the price tag, but a lot of it just seems like almost fill-in worthy. Like that Deadpool wedding issue, it was cool in concept in that it had pretty much every team that ever worked on Deadpool in his regular series.
Right.
You know, do 2 to 4 page spreads, but it was so disjointed that it didn't seem worth $8.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. All right, so I'd also go for Thor number 4, which continues the female Thor storyline that launched after Original Sin. Uncanny Avengers number 1, which we talked about earlier. And so that brings me up to $16. So with less than $4 to spare, I have to leave the Dying and the Dead at the comic book store, because that's got a $4.50 price tag. That extra 50 cents would have put me over.
Whoa, $4.50. Yeah.
But I'll stay in Image and pick up Sex Criminals number 10, and this wraps up the second storyline in Sex Criminals.
Wow. Well, well done, Billy. Well done.
Thank you. Now, Dave, there's one comic I want to talk about this week more than any other, and it's one that you read, and that's Fantastic Four 642.
Yes.
This is the beginning of the end of the series, right?
Right. And as I've been telling you, that I think this is going to lead into Secret Wars. I think I've been predicting this for months.
Yeah, and Bleeding Cool seems to agree with you, because they were telling people that this is an unmarked prologue to Secret Wars.
Yeah. You know, I think a might be leading into Secret Wars. You know, we're all wondering where the end game of We were wondering where the end game with the X-Men being in the present, the original X-Men being in the present,
Right.
was going to end, and I think that's where it's going to end, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's like a lot of stuff that you'll, if you're paying attention to different books, you'll be like, oh, I see. I see what's going on here. But yeah, so the characters from, okay, so spoiler, if anybody is planning on reading this, hasn't read this, jump ahead a little bit. Or actually go read the Fantastic Four and then
Ah, good idea.
listen to this. Part of the story is that the new Marvel Universe that was created in Franklin Richards' head when the Image guys came along and reinvented the Marvel Universe.
Like the Heroes Reborn?
Yes. So they've been popping up in the Fantastic Four.
Oh, interesting.
And they are being controlled by this new, I think it's a new villain that James Robinson's created, and he has brought down he has the guy who's orchestrating the end of the Fantastic Four. And at the end of this book, you see the wizard is just, you know, he's torturing Franklin Richards to
Torturing
get,
Franklin Richards.
yeah, and
So that's a 4-year-old.
I know, and then his son, who's part of the Future Foundation, ends up
Right.
stopping him, and it was a really cool scene. And then you see that the original Human Torch, who's and the Invaders, who are guest starring in the Fantastic Four, go and to this guy's house, the Sleepwalker. Who I have no idea who this guy is, but apparently he's somebody important in the Marvel Universe.
I wouldn't go so far as to call Sleepwalker an important character in the Marvel Universe. He was a star of a failed series in like 1991. He debuted at the same time that Darkhawk did. Darkhawk took off to critical and fan acclaim, while Sleepwalker, Marvel's answer to Sandman.
I was gonna say, I was like, is this Marvel's Sandman?
Yeah, in a way. So it was like, instead of being brainy the way Sandman is, Marvel made this character much more action oriented, but with I want to say a lame character design, but if Sleepwalker gets power becomes popular now, maybe a character design only ahead of its time. So yeah, basically it was about a guy who, when he fell asleep, this alien would emerge from his head and fight crime. I think he also fought crime in the Dreamscape. Even explaining Sleepwalker is putting me off to this book.
Yeah, so he's gonna go to help Franklin Richards.
Interesting. Yeah, Sleepwalker, you didn't see much of him after series got canceled. I remember he had a part to play in Infinity War, which was the sequel to Infinity Gauntlet, but yeah, he was quickly forgotten. I don't know if his series even, like, how long it went on.
Right. So somehow they think all this is gonna tie into Secret Wars.
Interesting.
But I, you know, just seeing that the heroes reborn heroes entering the Marvel Universe, though they're not in control of themselves.
So it's like the Heroes Reborn versions of Iron Man, The Thing, etc.
Right, yeah, those
Yeah,
guys.
okay. Does Iron Man still have those two like long tubes sticking off his back?
Yeah. And Hawkeye looks really weird. And yeah. All those clowns.
Nice. Cool. Now, one of the things. Now, you read a lot this week. What else stood out for you?
I like all new Invaders. I had wanted to read that before this week's came out. I had fallen behind on that. It was the Invaders really weren't in it. It was one of the Eternals and Tanalith, the Pursuer. I think that's her name, right?
Yeah, and Tanalith is who debuted in, I believe, All New Invaders number one and has been like a recurring villain in that series.
Right. So, you know, they're talking about this alien invasion or something that's going on that, you know, James Robinson did like a Times Past Invaders story in the previous issue. So it's going to be, you know, getting pretty good.
Gotcha.
I think he's just building for something really interesting to happen. So like he's been laying a lot of groundwork in the past couple issues. So I'm pretty excited for that. I read Black Science Volume 1.
I wanted to ask you about that. I saw that you read that. What did you think of it?
Well, I know like maybe like 2 months ago or even more, we were on here and I was like, oh, I read the first issue of Black Science and I thought it was meh.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know if I did. But you liked it. Nick liked it. Ali liked it. And when we were, you know, doing our year-end best series, and I was like, man, maybe I should give this another go. And this just proves to me, again, that I do not like reading Image series as single issues. Because after, you know, that first issue, it doesn't even begin to explain
right
what that series is. You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't think if you read that, well, I know when I read that first issue, I was like, eh, whatever. But, like, I read the second issue, and I was like, oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
And so, like, I almost don't want to read first issues of Image books. I just want to wait for the trade. Because it's kind of like reading the first chapter of a book.
Right.
And then being like, eh, it's okay. And then you're like, but to get the second chapter, you have to pay another $4.
And wait a month
and try to remember. And I'd be like, eh, that doesn't sound enjoyable to me.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. I was worried that when you were leading up to it, when you said, yeah, you know, Ali and Nick liked it, and this just showed me that I have different tastes than you guys.
That you guys are all wrong.
Yeah. You guys are no.
No, it's great. You know, it was like a non-superpowered Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Except they're a dysfunctional family.
Yes.
Dysfunctional, non-superpowered Fantastic Four jumped into a Sliders episode.
And, yeah, I think the Sliders is a good comparison.
Right, and they were like, hey, Jerry O'Connell and dude from Lord of the Rings, get out of here. We're taking over.
Now, I know you read a lot more. I just want to just touch on, I finished Uncanny Avengers Volume 4, which is basically where they take on Kang. And this really brings to a head a story that started in Remender's Uncanny X-Force with the Apocalypse Twins and now has finally completed itself in Uncanny Avengers. It's excellent. Daniel Acuna does the art, Remender's on the writing. And if people have been reading since Uncanny X-Force, you know, this is what they've finally been waiting for.
Hmm.
Yeah, that series, like, has just been excellent. I definitely recommend everyone start with Remender's Uncanny X-Force number 1, read the entire series, then go right into Uncanny Avengers and read that series, and then, I guess, go into Axis.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize all that stuff was, like, you know, together.
Yeah, it's basically been one overarching story. Not an ongoing story, but, like, an overarching story tying those two comics together.
Yeah. Right.
I do know you read a lot of stuff. We have a lot of news to talk about.
Right.
Because right after we recorded last week, Marvel came out with their Secret Wars announcement. So we didn't talk about that last week.
Right.
And I actually did not read the announcement or watch the video for a couple of days because I was afraid of what it was going to say. And it looks like I don't know if Marvel is just teasing this or if it's actually what it's going to be, but we might be seeing the end of the Marvel Universe and getting like a new 52-ization of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, you know, it was horrible when they were like, this is not a revamp, and then somebody else is like, the Marvel Universe is dead as you know it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, smells like New 52.
Yeah. I'm really hoping they're just playing with our emotions right now.
You know, the one thing should be interesting is that, like, I wonder if you're going to get some pretty cool stuff out of this. I think you're going to see something not as much like the New 52, but maybe something more like a streamlined version of what happened at the end of Infinite Crisis. Crisis on Infinite Earths.
That would be cool.
I think you might see stuff like you're going to see Peter Parker and Miles Morales together in the universe together.
I'm hoping that will be like the end of Zero Hour, and James Robinson writes a series as high quality as Starman before Marvel.
That would be amazing. where they just leave him alone to do his thing.
Yeah.
I think you might see the return of like Professor X, or maybe Gwen Stacy as the Spider character she was in Spider-Verse. Like, I think you're gonna see like a couple.
Yeah, well, Spider-Girl is launching a series, but I think it's gonna be before Secret Wars, so I'm not sure. But yeah, and I don't know if it's ongoing or limited.
Right.
Now, also beyond Secret Wars, Fantastic Four teaser trailer drop. We've heard a lot about this movie. We're actually now seeing footage from it. What do you think of it?
It looks good. It's a teaser trailer, so I mean, it might not be.
Yeah, because it's basically just a montage of scenes set to, like, you know, heavy music.
Right, yeah, you know, I mean, it looks a lot better than the previous Fantastic Four movies.
Right.
As far as, like, your visual effects. And, like, you know, like, Human Torch looked awesome. What I saw of The Thing looked really cool.
Yeah.
It looks good. Who knows what the story is going to be like, you know? And that I think is going to be, you know, the difference between great or awful.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And also, Fox has confirmed it was eyeing a possible X-Men TV series.
Yeah.
Or is eyeing a possible X-Men
TV series. It is. I think they're in talks with Marvel, because I don't know if they have the complete rights to do X-Men on TV.
Yeah, their license is only for film. They'd have to renegotiate a new deal with Marvel to do an X-Men TV show. Hopefully it will be better than Mutant X.
All right, so I wonder what Marvel will do, because I know Marvel wants Fantastic Four back, and I'm sure they want the X-Men back.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know, I don't think they're ever going to get the X-Men back until, like, those movies start to fail.
Mm.
You know? So, like, I think, you know, this could be something where, like, you could have the TV of the X-Men if we get the Fantastic Four back.
Mm. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they play that. And then finally, David Tennant, the 10th Doctor from Doctor Who, or Barty Crouch Jr., if you're a Harry Potter fan, is going to be joining the AKA Jessica Jones cast, the new Netflix series that's going to be debuting soon. And he's playing the Purple Man.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a mind-controlling villain from the Marvel Universe. He's purple, hence his name. But he can basically affect mass mind control and take total control of somebody's actions. And he, did you ever read Alias?
No, I didn't. I was looking forward to reading it in the Marvel Unlimited app, but I don't think they have any Max series available in there.
That's too bad, because it's definitely worth reading. Hunt that series down and read it. It's easily one of Brian Bendis' best works ever.
Yeah, yeah. I was bummed that it wasn't in there, because I was like, ooh, I'm going to get me some Alias. And I was like, I'm not going to get me some Alias.
The Purple Man was pretty much, he was kind of like a, kind of a lame villain in the 80s, and it was kind of a joke. But then Bendis brought him back in the pages of Alias for this, you know, flashback story in Jessica Jones' life back when she was a superhero. And man, he made Kilgrave into, like, a bad character. It was kind of like what happened with Dr. Light in Identity Crisis, but much more effective.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But I always had a thing for the Purple Man. I thought he was a really cool villain. He, I believe, was a a major part of the Emperor Doom graphic novel from the 1980s, which is a fun story that you can hunt down. I don't know if that might be on the Marvel Digital Unlimited app.
Right.
And then he's also in the current Daredevil series. He's a villain in that too. But yeah, so, and I think this is picturing David Tennant, especially the way he played Barty Crouch Jr. in Harry Potter, makes me think he's going to make an excellent Purple Man.
Cool. I'm looking forward to this Netflix series, and that David Tennant's a part of it. I mean, totally count me in.
Yeah.
I see you read Wonder Woman Volume 4 by George Perez and John Byrne.
I did. So that was kind of interesting the way that the cover credits worked on that. It's basically, I hadn't read the first three volumes of Wonder Woman, but my library had it, and Darkseid was on the cover with Wonder Woman. I said, oh, this looks interesting. I picked it up. It's like most 1980s comics, you don't have to read the first three volumes. They catch you up very quickly, you know, in people's dialogue and the narration boxes. This is
right.
Very early on, post-crisis Wonder Woman. She's just like she's just come to the outside world for the first time. And I have to say, a lot of this comic is very dated, not just because of the 1980s styles and like lingo that's in it, but man, it just like it makes you look back. And it's funny, when the New 52 happened, people were like, oh, you know, they did it right with Crisis of Infinite Earths. And like, you look at this Wonder Woman series, and it's so convoluted, and they introduced this like gigantic supporting cast, which has thankfully gone by the wayside over the years. She's staying with like this Greek family. They go to Greece. It's very, very Greek oriented, which makes sense because the Greek gods are in it. But you know, a lot of the comic is people talking about like their grandmother's baklava recipe. It comes back a lot. And I love George Perez's art, but yeah, the book just, it doesn't hold up well, in my opinion, as far as the writing goes. There was a cool crossover with Superman, which is why John Byrne was credited on it, and they basically, Wonder Woman is attracted to Superman, and actually goes to like this 13-year-old girl whose family she's staying with for advice, which is a nice scene because the girl's boyfriend has a crush on Wonder Woman, and the girl was getting jealous of that. But and then Wonder Woman and Superman end up making out a little and fighting Darkseid. That was a fun comic, but overall, I would say it's pretty skippable. Maybe it's just that I've now come to associate the Azzarello Chang version of Wonder Woman as my Wonder Woman. So as much as I love George Perez, like, and associate him with Wonder Woman, this isn't a book I'd recommend to people.
Yeah, that one comic book just sounds like it would drop right into the New 52.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that issue. Yeah, which came out, you know, post-crisis, could have easily been post-New 52.
Right. That's interesting. I'm like 3/4 of the way through the first volume of The Ultimates. And I had read that back when it came out, you know, like everybody else did.
Yeah.
And I've just been reading all the Ultimate books, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'll reread The Ultimates. I haven't read that in like 10 years. And so, like, you know, just to put it in place with all the other Ultimate books I've been reading. And man, it does not hold up too well.
Oh, really? That's funny, because I had a friend read Ultimates for the first time. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was really good. And he's like, I don't like it that much.
And you know what? It was like, it just read like, you know, like, hey, we're making superheroes adult and cool, and we're taking it past like what Frank Miller did. You know, like, it was just, you know, they say that, you know, you hear people say, you know, the movies took a lot from the Ultimate books.
Right.
And I think to some extent they did.
Yeah.
But they didn't take the story, and they didn't take a lot of the characterization. I think they took designs, you know, to be honest, I think that's the most they took, you know? Because like Captain America, you know, there was, the one scene they kind of did that in the movie
Right.
But it was completely different in the movie. They made it way better in the movie. And when I saw the movie, I was like, that's just like the Ultimates. It wasn't. It was way better than the Ultimates. The Hulk is just like this like weird rapist.
Yeah, I
And
remember the
that was sketchy. And like if you had that, you would never have that in the Avengers now. And people talking about like people now just, talk about like the sensitivity in comics and misogyny and all that and women, and this just reeked horrible of like misogyny and like, Betty Ross is just or Betsy Ross, no, Betty Ross.
Yeah, Betty Ross.
I'm getting confused with the flag maker.
Yeah,
And she was just like, there was nothing redeemable about her character. She just tortured them and tortured Bruce Banner and like just didn't have a heart.
it's funny. We were talking about this either last week or the week before about, the unsubtle writing of Mark Miller, and this is just more grist for that mill, I think.
Like I think the way that Iron Man looked and that he was like a drunk but like a fun drunk, like I think that stuck, I think the
Yeah.
look of Captain America they took from this. The look of like Black Widow and Hawkeye, they took from this,
Yeah. But the movies definitely have more charm than Miller's writing has in the Ultimates.
Right. And like the most interesting part of it was that the Ultimates, they start as like just like they're fake, they're just, what they do is they stop the Hulk who created them,
Right.
he made them, he gave them the reason to become a team, and they were just fighting amongst themselves. They weren't really saving anybody, and it was like a reality show. And in that way, it was somewhat interesting. But there was like a whole issue where like Millar just like puts in jokes about like, or nods to who he would like to see play the different characters.
Right.
And it was such a waste. Like, I get like, it just seemed like, I think everyone was like, oh yeah, that would be awesome. And that's probably what people talked about after they read that comic book. But, looking back now, it just looks like an advertisement to make that movie. And who knows, maybe it worked in Hollywood. Maybe somebody was like, well, this would be a really good movie. And
Yeah.
that's why we have the movies that we do now, or part of the reason. Who knows? But yeah, just as a story, it's not great,
Yeah, I agree. I think without the Ultimates comic, you don't have the Avengers movie. I don't think the Avengers movie would have been made or would have been made to the level of quality it was without the Ultimates comic, but the movie definitely springboarded from the comic and became better than the comic.
Right. They springboarded from that comic, but they definitely pulled from, the Hulk, they pulled from a completely different place. And like even Thor, they like only took like a couple things where like, they took that nobody believed that he was a god.
Right. I like that a lot.
Right. Like I think there were bits and pieces that worked, but they weren't like the story in general. I think
Right.
that and like they took kind of like the look of Thor from that book, but and that's where I think Brian Hitch has like a bigger role in what the movies look like and are than Mark Miller does.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You know what, I have to read Ultimates again, but I looking back on it just in my head, I could see why it wouldn't hold up that great.
Yeah. There's just a lot of like dated references.
Yeah, that's the problem is when you make something overly topical, then later on it becomes dated. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to bring us to the close of this episode. And yeah, it was a good episode. And I think we've definitely given people a primer on what they can expect in their comic book store tomorrow, and some tips on what to read and what not to read. Hint, don't read Wonder Woman number 4, Don't read Wonder Woman Volume 4, the George Perez run. Do read Black Science Volume 1, though.
Yes, definitely read it.
Rick Remender coming off very strong in this podcast episode.
Go, Rick Remender.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining me, Dave, and I'll see you next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.